Good evening and welcome to the Derry Township Board of Supervisors meeting for Tuesday, July 11th. Would you please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Although it's supposed to be in the meeting room, I want to advise those persons attending that it is and has been the policy of the township to record all public meetings for the purposes of providing accurate minutes. In addition, the Board of Supervisors met executive sessions to discuss land, legal, and personnel matters. Jim, will you do the roll call?
Sir. Mr. Weir.
Here.
Mr. Moyer.
Here.
Mr. Engel.
Here.
Mr. Court.
Here.
Chairman Foley.
Here.
Here. Warren, sir.
Thank you. Next on our agenda is the visitor and public comment section. If you want to address the board, please step to the microphone and state your name and address and limit your comments to 3 minutes or less, please. Seeing none, moving along to our approval of meeting minutes for the public meeting for June 27, 2017. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Courtney.
Second.
Second by Mr. Weir. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that public meeting minutes are unanimously approved. Next is the Board of Supervisors meeting for June 27th. Is there a motion? Moved by Mr. Engel.
I'll second.
Second by Ms. Court. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the Board of Supervisors meeting minutes are unanimously approved. Next on the agenda is new business presentation of retirement award for Ms. Barbara Ellis. Jill.
Am I presenting?
Okay.
Not worked out the blocking, Barbara.
I know what I'm supposed to be.
Notice how relaxed Barbara.
But we came out of our meeting, our exec session meeting, a little late, so I didn't get to review any of this. But it's always my privilege to be able to do these presentations, especially when it's a retirement. I've had almost 6 years now, so it's your time has been good. Gosh, I don't know how many. A long time, 14 years. So Barbara has been a staple in the library. Very, very well known, great operation there. A huge part of our community. And on behalf of our community, I'm going to read this in recognition of dedicated and loyal service to the Township of Derry as the Director of the Library Services for the Hershey Public Library, Hershey, PA, from May 15, 2003 to May 18, 2017. Thank you so very much. Barbara has already been retired for a while, and it's been your tan, right? Someday I'm looking forward to
it. My retirement's tan.
Hey, enjoy the summer, enjoy retirement, and I just wish you the best of all that you're doing.
Thank you very, very much. And thank all of you. I really appreciate your support, and especially the staff, the board, and all of the friends I've made in this community. Thank you very much. And I wish the best to the new library director, and it's my pleasure to have gotten to know you as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
During his tenure with DTPD, Matt has moved from the patrol section to the criminal investigation section. He has made a thorough effort to familiarize himself with the aspects of investigations into thefts and involving lending institution accounts and the use of modern technology to commit theft and fraud. He is considered a subject matter expert in the department and throughout Dauphin County when it comes to crimes involving the use of technology, the internet, and social media. He was also recently appointed as a member of the Regional Cybercrime Task Force with the FBI. He has been instrumental in the department's development and use of social media and the internet to keep us connected with the community. Matt has also been a proponent of the community policing outreach program and is responsible for introducing the idea of hosting Coffee with a Cop events, which are now held periodically in Deering Township. Detective Dodds has consistently shown his dedication to the police department, the township, and the citizens we serve. Congratulations, Matt.
The next employee performance award is Rosemary Fentis. I apologize if I'm saying that incorrectly. Laura, would you please correct me and also talk a little bit about her?
Yeah, sure. Rosemary, you want to come up and I'll say a little few words?
Rosemary was selected for this year's employee performance award because of her willingness to go the extra mile to help her colleagues. She has become indispensable in her circulation department and uses her creativity to help the children's department prepare for all their programming. Rosemary's smile, humor, and generosity make her a valuable member of our team. Congratulations, Rosemary.
And Kate Clark from Parks and Rec. Matt.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to present and recognize Kate Clark as the Employee of the Year for the Department of Parks and Recreation. Kate's been employed since June of 2014 as a front desk attendant at the Recreation Center. And as such, her and her front desk co-workers represent the voice and the face of the department when the public either calls or arrives at the Recreation Center to enroll or otherwise partake in the many offerings that are available. Kate consistently demonstrates a friendly and approachable style to her work and has gained the respect of both her peers and management through her tremendous work ethic and willingness to assist where she's needed at any given time. As Kate knows, we continually strive to create and maintain a strong team environment within our department. Kate, you have consistently demonstrated your tremendous value to our Parks and Recreation team, and we all congratulate you tonight on this recognition, and thank you for all of your hard work in serving our great community.
Gary Wagner from Public Works.
Gary has been with the department for, I'm not sure, 30 plus years, Gary?
Yeah, 79.
Gary's an integral part of our department, has been for a very long time. He has served at the rec center as well, as an operator down there, an operator and a crew leader for the public works department, and he is the man who makes the material that residents use at the recycling center. So if anybody uses mulch, leaf compost, anything like that, that's the guy that makes it right there. And lots of it.
Now, Marissa Weldon from Community Development and Administration.
Hey, Marissa was unable to be here tonight, but I do have a few words about her. Marissa was hired in 1997 as a part-time secretary for community development and 5 years later was made full-time and will be with the township 20 years in September. To say that Marissa is a valued employee is an understatement because I don't think that you can put a value on the amount of her dedication to not only her position but in helping other departments. Throughout the years, she's worked for administration, finance, and the police department. If there is a superwoman, she is it. She has energy like no other. The municipal building opens at 8. Maurice is here every day at 7:30. She'll work tirelessly to complete not only her work, but to provide coverage for the front desk and administration. Over the last 2 years, she has trained 2 part-time secretaries for community development and 2 temporary employees for administration. She puts the needs of the township before her own, and I want her to know how much her efforts are appreciated.
That we get a group picture of the one gentleman just left. So Tom's texting him to see if he can come back and get a photo of all of them. Now on to Dave, who's going to present Joel Copper.
Thank you.
Thank you. For the second year in a row, the Hershey Volunteer Fire Company has chosen a newer member as Firefighter of the Year. Joel joined the company in 2015 and has completely completed the essentials of firefighter, gaining recognition as a Firefighter 1 qualified member of our department. His passion for the fire service and serving the residents of Derry Township have led him to taking tests throughout Pennsylvania and Maryland to become a career firefighter. Not only has Joel been one of the most active members of the department in responding to emergencies, he has many hours of additional training and public services that would include fire prevention, public safety events, and standbys. Joel's peers have recognized his efforts in making the community a better place to live throughout his service and residence of Derry Township. It is an honor to have Joel as a member of the fire department. Congratulations, Joel.
If we can get a group picture.
Tom, Gary, come back. Come
service awards for anniversary recognition. On the five years of service, Cassandra Haldeman at the library, Michael McCormick with the police department, Dave Saracini with public works, Brandon Williams with community development. Brandon, congratulations. I don't believe anyone else is here from those that I've read. There are no 10-year anniversaries, 15-year anniversaries. Dale Nelson with the police department, Dennis Shear with the police department, Marissa Weldon with community development. Under 20 years, Amy Clemson with Parks and Rec. 25 years, Jan DeAngelis with Parks and Rec, Brian Grubb with the police department, Terry Free, and 30 years of service, Peter Shear with the library. Congratulations to all of those employees for their continued service. Next on our agenda is A, 1 through 29, consideration of changes to the approved design and structures, design of structures and site layout for the redevelopment project at northeast corner of the intersection of West Chopin Avenue and Ridge Road within the downtown core overlay district. Mr. Williams.
First, all of their building designs for the original project back in March of this year. With the tax incremental financing district not moving forward, the applicant has made changes to the building and parking garage that are proposed for this site location. Those changes are basically to make the project more economically feasible for the owners to complete. Originally proposed were two separate buildings and a three-tier parking garage. The owner has now removed the residential component of the project and is proposing three separate single-story buildings along the southern part of the property, which you'll see on the bottom of the screen right now. The parking garage structure is in the same exact location, but instead of three tiers, it's now a two-tier parking structure. The predominant building materials of the property remain brick and natural stone elements that are consistent with the downtown standards for the downtown core overlay district. The two modification requests that were submitted by the applicant include an allowance to permit aluminum accent materials, which on the screen right now, those materials are the black portions of the building that surround the trim of the building, and again, are consistent with what the board had previously seen and approved back in March, but now the new design standards were adopted prior to these changes being proposed by the applicant, and those materials are no longer specifically permitted by that ordinance. The material that is proposed creates four design elements that we feel add character to the building and are consistent with what we see in portions of the new firehouse structure, which is also in the downtown core overlay district. The second modification requested is regarding building height. Just to go through some of these drawings, I'll change the page. This is the western edge of the eastern building and then also the central building. The proposed heights range anywhere from 22 to 30 feet on each of the structures. With this view, you can see that there are certain elements that the applicant created to try to maximize the height of the structure. And the tower element on the center part of the building is at about 30-foot finished elevation, which is the same elevation as the western part of the eastern building. Moving to the western building, you can see that similar elements were created on that structure as well to maximize height, and similar to the other two buildings, the highest part of that structure finishes at about 30 feet in elevation. The design standards require either a two-story structure or a 35-foot high building when it's located along Chocolate Avenue. The purpose of that requirement was really to maximize the usable floor area of new buildings that were proposed for the downtown. With the size of the property and the overall size of the buildings, the applicant was still able to provide for multiple users in each of the buildings, still maximizing space and providing a variety of uses, which is what we really want to see for the downtown core district. Just reviewing each of the buildings, you can see that the structure of the windows and the massing of the buildings that they're proposing, they've really developed to create the feel of the full two stories that would otherwise be required by the ordinance. The parking structure that's proposed, again, reduced down to two tiers, but it contains similar finishes as the front commercial buildings. It contains the brick and aluminum siding that we're seeing, or the aluminum paneling that we're seeing on the front buildings. Each tier of the parking structure will be accessed off of the internal access drive to the site. The original proposal had a driveway to the lower tier off of Bridge Road that has since been removed by this revision. The Downtown Core Design Board reviewed the application at their meeting on June 26th and recommended approval of the design elements of the commercial buildings and the parking garage structure, and also approval of the two modification requests as presented by the applicant. Staff recommendation tonight is for the supervisors to consider approval of the buildings and the modification request as presented.
Thank you, Brandon. Are there any questions for Brandon?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Brandon, the parking garage.
Yes, sir.
Deck.
Mm-hmm.
Is that engineered so as to permit vertical extensions on that in future years if it's determined to be desirous?
That I do not know off the top of my head. Each of the tiers are designed that you can access each tier directly off of the access drive. So there's no internal circulation to the parking garage. Whether that would prohibit an increased floor, it would be dependent on the grades, I think, of the property and whether that could access. I mean, there would have to be significant upgrades to the parking structure to have to build on. Whether the grades would permit a lower tier, that's something that would have to.
Right. I was just curious. I believe the existing parking structure that was engineered out, the ability to go vertical was engineered out of that.
Right.
And my question, I guess, was whether or not in the future, a couple years down the road, whether or not that capability exists, where if there's a need or a desire to extend vertically for whatever reason, whether that's possible from an engineering standpoint without essentially doing a rebuild.
Mark, it's my understanding, Chris or Brandon's way, it's my understanding it's not.
It's not.
There's no intention to stay getting higher. And if it was going to be three grades, they would have achieved that by going down.
Right.
And so they're not going to go down.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Are there any other questions? Hearing none. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Court. Second by Mr. Weir. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. I believe. And that motion was unanimously approved. Next on our agenda is B1 through 21, approval of ordinance number 690, authorizing the issuance of a general obligation note series of 2017 for the West Caracas Avenue parking, public parking lot project in Sunbrook.
Thank you.
Luke
is here tonight. Yeah.
Mr. Bredell.
Okay. Good evening. 2 weeks ago, you authorized the financing team to go out and solicit proposals for a line of credit not to exceed $550,000 to fund the Caracas Avenue parking project. We sent those out the day after you had authorized that. They were due on Friday, and we received some attractive proposals, and we have one to recommend for you. On page one of the PowerPoint handout that I passed out, just a quick review of what we talked about last week. Again, the purpose of this loan is to provide the funds to purchase the land, cover engineering costs and construction costs of the new parking lot. The amount is not to exceed $550,000 with a 10-year principal amortization. We had actually worked with the administration at the tail end of last year with that structure so that the debt service was built into your current budget for this year. When we get to the debt service schedule, you'll see that just due to the timing of when this will close, there's just one payment that will actually hit 2017 in November, and I'm sure it's much less than what was actually budgeted because it's just a partial interest period. I would also just point out that this is drawdown, so that $550,000 is the amount that's available, but that does not mean that the entire amount would be drawn down as construction costs are finalized and as the grant money comes in. That amount may not ever even be drawn down, but that is the maximum amount that we have available. The interest rate from the best proposal, and I'll review those in just a second, was a fixed interest rate of 2.78% for the entire 10-year life of the loan, which is what we were asking for. I think that also reflects that the township obviously continues to maintain its strong AA credit rating. When we sent these out, we provided updates on the township's credit rating, as well as your 2016 audit report was just finalized actually last week. And so some of the banks wanted to see that 2016 audit report. So we did provide that to a few of the banks that requested to see that. Flexibility that's built into this is that it is prepayable at any time with no penalty. So that was one of the differentiating factors that you'll see made this proposal, which is actually from First National Bank, who ironically is the bank that ended up with the two fire station loans after they had purchased Metro Bank. 2 weeks ago, I mentioned we just paid off one of those to First National Bank. So they were the ones that gave us this good proposal. It is bank qualified. And on the financing schedule, as I mentioned, these RFPs came in on Friday the 7th. With your approval tonight, we have everything set up that the loan would close on August 11th. And at that point, funds could be requisitioned for any construction costs that have been incurred at that time. If you turn to the next page, we have a short summary. We did send this out to over 20 of the local banks that typically bid on something of this structure. The three proposals that we received are listed at the top. First National Bank at 2.78 fixed rate for 10 years, and they basically met all of the qualifications of the RFP, which also required it to be prepayable at any time and a drawdown basis, the structure. Capital One, they provided an interest rate that was just 2 basis points higher, 2.8% for the full 10-year term of the life of the loan. However, they did require a 5-year call feature that you would not be able to prepay the loan during the first 5 years. So again, that wasn't attractive as the full flexibility that we had designed into the RFP. And then there was also two proposals from Fulton Bank. One was for a fixed rate for 5 years at a 2.75, and then it would convert into a variable rate for the remaining five. and their second was a 288 fixed for 7 years, and also converting to a variable rate was prepayable at any time. But clearly, the ability to just lock this in and know that your rate is fixed at 278 for the next 10 years is the most attractive proposal here for you. So to look at the numbers and how this is sized, and again, we worked with your administration to make sure that the sizing net of the cost was sufficient to cover the project cost as well as some contingency. So on this first page of numbers that at the top says sources and uses, under sources you can see the maximum amount that would be available. Under uses, net of the project net of the issuance costs that are broken out there for you, the available amount in the project fund would be $525,500. The debt service schedule that the business office will pay attention to is page 2 of these numbers, and that has the fixed interest rate of 2.78% shown for the full 10-year term. At the top, you can see, as I mentioned, we're going to close on August the 11th. The first payment that's due on this loan will be on November the 15th. So even if the entire amount were to be drawn at this interest rate, that first payment in this year's budget is a little under $4,000. So I think that's well under what you had budgeted. Yeah. And then you can see starting next year, 2018, the principal begins to amortize. So your net debt service, if, again, the entire amount was drawn at the interest rate of 278, is about $65,000 per year. The final couple pages are the actual proposal that First National Bank sent us. I'd be happy to answer any questions, but overall, I think it's a very good proposal. I think when we estimated an interest rate, and of course we were being conservative, but I think we had an interest rate in there that we ran the original projections at about 4%. So coming in at a 278 is much lower than what the early estimates were.
Very good. Are there any questions for Mr. Verdelli?
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Mr. Verdelli, is this, do I understand this correctly, this essentially functions as a line of credit? In other words, it's not like we're borrowing a full amount right out of the gate and paying interest on that. It's as certain monies are due and owing, we draw on that for the construction of and use of this money.
Yes, the $550 will not be fully funded at closing. It will be available to you. So on August the 11th, the funds to cover the issuance costs will be drawn. And until there's a construction requisition submitted, there would not be any other draws on the account.
And the interest that is paid is on the amount drawn upon, correct?
Correct. Okay. That's drawn and outstanding.
That's actually outstanding.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Does anyone else have any questions? Very good. Hearing none, is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Corden. I'll second it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that authorization is unanimously approved.
Thank you for getting us such a good rate.
Yes.
The ordinance.
That ordinance. That's the ordinance offer, the authorizing of the ordinance. But thank you, sir. Next on agenda C, 1 through 2, request to conduct the 2017 Ben and Tim Day 5K race on Saturday, August 26, 2017, starting at 9 a.m. Chief Warner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a request to hold the 26th annual Ben and Tim Day 5K run on the date that you had indicated. The event starts and ends at the Hershey High School on Homestead Road. The roadways that are affected are Homestead Road, East Granada Avenue, East Caracas Avenue, Para Avenue, Meadow Lane, Red Oak Lane, and Homestead Lane. Some of those are private roadways. We will be manning these traffic control posts mainly with on-duty personnel, police, community service officers, special fire police. Milton Hershey Security will be manning some traffic control posts on their property. There is a possibility for some overtime being incurred with this event, but the organizers are aware of our policy in reference to reimbursement, and they have agreed to abide by that.
Very good.
Thank you, Chief. Are there any questions? This is an annual kind of thing. We go through each and every time. So, I'll make the motion.
Second.
Second by Ms. Court. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that offer, the request is unanimously approved. Next on our agenda is correspondence board and committee information. To my left, Mr. Moyer.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jim was kind enough to provide an initial draft of a five-year capital projects request for our review and consideration. This is a very early phase of this budgeting process, and that was pursuant to our request of the board that he and Cheryl develop the first draft of this type of planning instrument. First of all, I want to thank Jim and Cheryl for working so hard on this. Well, you're very modest, but it obviously took a great deal of work, and I thank you for that. It's something that's well needed. Secondly, I think it might be a good idea, now that this has been memorialized in this document, that if it hasn't already been done so, that perhaps Jim and Cheryl revisit with the department heads some of the priorities of these items in this document, in terms of things that are absolutely necessary, things that are going to be needed but not immediately, and essentially prioritize them if that hasn't already been done. And I think that would be a good springboard then for a comprehensive discussion among ourselves as supervisors. And I also think, personally, it would be a good idea if Jim and Cheryl could take the first crack at perhaps coming up with a recommended five-year spending plan based upon those priorities that then we as board supervisors can take a look at and massage and determine what we want to prioritize and when we want to prioritize those for debt service, in an effort to determine in any given year what our anticipated debt service will be totally, and be able to compare that in any given year to our anticipated revenue. And in that fashion, I think then we can come up with a more recognizable view of what we're looking at in the next 5 years, a moving five-year window, in terms of our anticipated debt service in relation to our anticipated revenue. But those are just my thoughts on that. So.
Very good.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Mr. Weir.
I'm not here this evening.
Thank you. And I do not have anything this evening. Ms. Weir.
Just two quick things I wanted to recognize. We got a nice letter of thanks. John and I attended the People Movers luncheon. They have an annual luncheon to recognize their volunteers, and they're happy to be part of it and support all their efforts. So just wanted to thank them for inviting us to be a part of that luncheon this year. And a quick thanks to the fire department for all that you do, but in particular for helping put the fireworks out on 4th of July. We appreciate your service. Even though we cut the fireworks short, we were glad to have you handy. So. Please do. Thank you.
Mr. Rangel, I have nothing to add. Thank you. Next on our agenda is the reports of departments. Chief,
I have nothing to say.
Thank you. From the fire department, Mr. Sassman.
Yes, good evening. Thank you. Just a couple highlights. The fire department last month responded to 63 incidents. That closed out half of our year. So far, we've done 350 alarms up until June 30th. A couple notable highlights here. Our annual fund drive went out just last week, and it will be hitting the residences' mailbox along with the businesses. We also, Saturday, we rescued three kayakers off of Sotero Creek. All were in place in the hands of EMS and were well. And one of the big highlights is Deputy Chief Sonderman. He was up at Susquehanna Township at a church event and witnessed a cardiac arrest. He immediately started CPR and summoned his AED out of his car. When EMS arrived, the person had a pulse, was transferred to EMS and to a local hospital. So we're very proud of that moment and his call to action. And that's all I have. Just thank you to the township for all your support.
Thank you. I might add to that's Rodney's third state as well.
It is.
A member of the department. So they're kind of big events for police and fire.
Clark, Public Works.
I have nothing. Thank you.
So, great.
I just want to report that as of today, we have 81,000 minutes read from our summer readers, and that's the equivalent of reading straight for 2 months or cooking 271 Thanksgiving turkeys. That's all I have to report.
Thank you
for giving us that waited. Very good. The administration?
I have nothing. Thank you.
Thank you. Matt?
Just quickly want to let the board know that we're working closely with Ballard King Associates, who is the firm doing operations analysis for the Community Recreation Center project. We supply fee structures, pay rates, and a whole host of other operational expenditures that we currently have at our current site, and we're working on that project, and I'll certainly be keeping the board up to date as the progress moves along with that study.
Thanks, Grant. What's the latest projection as to when that'll be done?
Early August is what we're looking at right now. Yeah.
Super. Next on our agenda is Mr. Brown.
Nothing this evening, thank you.
Mr. Fernandez.
So, Chris, how do you feel? Can I go ahead to Mr. Brown?
No.
So,
yes.
So, I can't get past tonight after we approved the design changes for one story on the post office without going back and looking at a little history and how you've worked with the township now for how many years?
Three and a half.
So we started the DHA, Downtown Energy Association, a year or two before that. And so one of the biggest pushes in there, the biggest things we were trying to achieve is what the residents said they wanted was multiple stories at that site. And so here we are tonight, and we had to approve one-story buildings across the front. So what can you say to us to make us feel better? what does this mean for the downtown? How do you feel about these buildings?
I feel better about them. Honestly, I feel like the you're blessed in the sense that the architects they listened to what the new design review board had shared in terms of the aesthetic they wanted to put forth. The best one story buildings we possibly could have gotten. We could have gotten a lot worse.
Yeah.
Had the standards not been in place, had the new zoning ordinance not been passed, had the comp plan and the Downtown Hershey Association's master plan not been in place, you would have had little to no control or input through that process. And we could have ended up with a split face block, suburban style development on that property that was sitting back off the street 25 feet. So you put a lot of things in place, and as Brandon mentioned, you know, they worked hard to give the appearance of a multiple-story building, although they're not going to be occupied stories. They really worked to provide openings and a lot of translucency. One of the things I'm actually intrigued about, by going down to a single-story structure, they split the second building into two buildings, which gives us a total of three structures with two public spaces fronting on Chocolate Avenue. So there's a lot more ability to animate the streetscape by having some ins and outs and some pass-through spaces. And I do think it protects one of the things we've talked about this whole process is this community is a community of terrific view sheds.
Yeah.
And, you know, if anyone was lucky enough to attend Tim Demopoulos' 50th birthday party on the patio at Chocolate Avenue Grill, the view to the park is sort of iconic on that side of the street. And so this single-story building, they spent a lot of time framing those views. The tower elements that Brandon talked about that are 30 to 32 feet tall are placed in such a way that you're actually celebrating the view to the sky rush, and you're going to be able to see the triple towers. And so they made the best of what was there. And certainly in a perfect world, multiple stories, residential living downtown adds to 24-hour vibrancy, and it's still what we're striving for.
Yeah.
It just didn't, I mean, without the public-private partnership, without something to prime that pump, we couldn't get there with this project. But I think what you're going to get, the richness in the materials, you know, we asked for brick. We wanted the brick as a really important element. I think they brought it forth in a way that's not faking history, and it's not going to be looked upon like, that's kind of historic, but it's not historic. They struck out and tried to sort of blend some historic elements with a slightly more modern touch, some new lines. It's a good design, and I feel like it represents... I don't want to say that it represents a settling for something less than what could be there. Most communities would kill to have that. I think that the fact that they worked hard to turn the corners and provide even the, you know, so we spent a lot of time on the floor plans of this building with our tenant spaces that open up into those plaza spaces, which again is going to create a lot of activity that we might not have got had we just had multiple stories. We could have had some bigger buildings and taller spaces, but maybe not as much pedestrian activity. So, I think that, but it's interesting, there's more development opportunities that are going to come down the pike in this core community, and so we still need to keep pushing, because I don't want to lose sight of the fact that a little bit of height in the downtown is going to add value.
RBGA has been an amazing partner. I mean, they went through the whole exercise with us. They were there to partner, and in the end, it didn't work out, but they delivered something that's really nice. So hopefully, with other projects in the future, we can keep working towards getting multiple story and residential downtown.
Well, I would offer, if anyone read the Central Penn Business Journal last week, Steelton has done some pretty massive public-private partnership work of their own to entice development to come into town. So, again, the competitive market around you is going to force this community to be on their toes as far as implementation projects, so to make sure you're getting the prime development downtown. So, good.
They're using a LERT, aren't they?
They're using a LERT, which is not at all what we propose here.
Right.
And that is a straight-up abatement project. Mm-hmm. 10 years, no taxes.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a swift and a very bold move. Lots of places have made that move, and it's interesting that it's that close to you all to say that they're making that move. So
I tip my hat to RBGA because they did the best that they could with the tools that they were given, and I hope in the future, because I don't see anything teed up, but for the next board, that when those opportunities present themselves, they capitalize on it, because we got something really good, but we missed something absolutely amazing.
I don't know off the top of my head, I can't remember the exact number, but there are more than 10 tenant spaces in those buildings, which means the potential for, there's at least 10. That's new businesses in town, new employment opportunities, new places for everyone to patronize, plus several hundred new parking spaces, which will be beneficial. In very close proximity to a lovely new walking trail on Park Boulevard that takes you to a very high quality entertainment complex.
That's right. Good, thanks.
Yep. Next up is Mr. Banana with HRG.
Thanks. Two project updates at this time. We did get the schedule for the West Caracas parking lot today from the contractor. So mobilization is scheduled for July 24th. And just about wrapping up with final cleanup at the beginning of October, weather permitting there. And I did speak with the property owner today. They are on board with the schedule, so that should go very smoothly. And I'm looking forward to that project to start. That's the property with the fence right at Jewel.
Okay, yeah, I was just thinking, which property owner? We have, we're the property owner.
That next door.
Gotcha.
And Matt, forgive me, what did you say? You're working with the property owner?
Yes, I spoke to him today.
Okay.
And his schedule with his tenant and the schedule proposed by the contractor is going to work out very nicely.
That is super.
Okay. Second update is the Oakmont Crossing, which is out there. That is completely done. I think it looks great. They voted exactly per plan. We have a nice crossing, good visibility there. The signs are up. They put the guardrail in on Monday, so I think it looks great. So.
Can I tell you how much I appreciate that? This was approved before I even moved up there, but on behalf of everybody who lives off of Wood Road, it is a life-changing addition because people used to have to climb over or go under the guardrail or hoist their bicycles over or under the guardrail or walk on Wood Road and then go across the field and get eaten alive by the bus. So we've got this beautiful opening out of the bike path, and it looks so gorgeous with all the trees from the group that Matt works with, and it's a great addition. One of the residents, the first night before it was actually paved, stopped me and said, "This is wonderful. Can you see if they can make this permanent?" So people are very happy. I just wanted to make sure that you and your team knew how much the residents up there really appreciate that.
Yeah, and it does look great. And that split rail fence is a great touch to it.
Not only pretty, but it sends the message to the oncoming traffic on the either side of something is coming.
Yes.
And it's great. I've used it every night almost, and to watch the traffic stop for pedestrians is a good thing. And just, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that whole idea came from a resident who came to a meeting and spoke and suggested it.
Yeah, well, it came from Mark and I at the Humblestown Library that night.
Here you go. Yes, absolutely.
And there was a gentleman from Oakmont.
And it does it here. It's like a... It announces the gateway, the entrance to it. It sort of ends this, the ramp going down. It just, it's well done.
And it also mentions that it serves more than just Oakmont. It's the whole, there it was. Everybody can access it through Oakmont.
Yeah.
The
inspector and the contractors was just amazed at how many people stopped them during the day to say thank you. Yeah, great project.
More
thank you.
Super, thank you. Are there any other questions for Matt? Hearing none. Brandon, Community Development.
Our June report is in the packet. I don't have anything to add to it.
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you. Are there any questions for Brandon? Seeing none. Ms. Umbro.
I have nothing this evening.
Thank you all. So, Mr. Chairman, I hate to belabor the point, but Saturday night was phenomenal. We had the concert downtown. Terrific attendance. Everybody just had a blast. It seems like the attendance is growing every weekend.
651 people was our count at 8 o'clock.
It's got to be more than that. I mean, it was wonderful. And if you could, I'm sure on behalf of the board, extend our gratitude to the Downtown Hershey Association and everyone involved in that, because it is a real great event and series of events for our town. You did a great job.
And Parks and Rec involvement.
Absolutely. And all that help too. I mean, it's just fantastic. So, thanks. Very good. Nothing further?
I have nothing to report.
Mr. May.
Report, actually.
Very good. Next on our agenda is the approval of accounts payable in the amount of $260,755.64 and payroll in the amount of $374,903.04. Is there a motion?
Mm-hmm.
Moved by Mr. Weir. Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And the accounts payable and payroll are approved. Next is the final visitor and public comment. Same rules apply. Please state your name and address and limit your comments to 3 minutes or less. Very good. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Weir, second by Mr. Engel. Have a great night, folks.